listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
When I get signed, homie, I'ma act a fool. Hit the dance floor, strobe lights in the room. Snatch a little secretary bitch for the homies. Blue-eyed devil with a fat-ass monkey. I'ma buy a brand new caddy on Vogue. Trunk the hood up, two dimes, deuce four. Platinum on everything, platinum on a wedding ring. Married to the game and a bad bitch chose. When I get signed, homie, I'ma buy a strap. Straight from CIA, set it on my lap. Take a few M16s to the hood. Pass them all out on the block, what's good? I'ma put the counter swap meet by the White House. Republican run up and get socked out. Hit the press with a Cuban link on my neck. Uneducated, but I got $1 million check like that. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
They should never gave niggas money. It's a Monday.
Ready? Everybody get up.
Wesley's theory. When I first loved you, but now I'm just trying to fuck.
Yeah.
Late nights thinking of you until I get my nut. We are live, ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is just brought to you by listeners like you. Let's just get right into all the stuff that is going on, okay, guys, because news is still happening and everybody's talking. Okay, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's talk about just some regular ass news. Tyrese is fighting for custody of his kid and then his wife, and there's like this big old thing. He was crying on the internet. All this happened while we had our week off.
Okay.
Yeah, my thing is I've just stopped kind of giving Tyrese my time.
Same here.
So I have not really been keeping up with his whole ordeal. I know that he got joint custody, I believe is the latest news on it. But like, he was living for the internet for a second, and I don't know what happened to make him feel that that was a smart thing to do. People was talking about he having money troubles, all these rumors are going, people talking about his mental health. I don't know all that stuff. I understand he was ordered to not use corporal punishment on his daughter by the judge, so he can't be hitting his kid. But I don't, that someone, he was accused of kidnapping the comedian Michael Blackson because Michael Blackson made jokes about his Tyrese's breakdown last week and the cops got called. Wow. But I don't think anyone was like arrested or anything actually happened, but it was like a fake kidnapping joke that just, I guess the police wasn't in on. I don't, like, he's just doing too much. I can't keep up. And I feel like I'm gonna just have to check out of this whole story. And you know, so it's not that I didn't notice it was happening, guys, I just can't be bothered. If you wonder why the Blackout Tips has not been covering this story, I can't be bothered, guys. It's just, it's too much. I never thought I'd say this, but Tyrese just needs to go back to
sitting on the bus, back of the bus, singing do always Coca-Cola.
That's not what I was gonna say, but sure. That's, he should go, he should do that too. I was gonna say he can go back to just writing books telling black women how to get, find a man.
No, I don't want to do that. Go, just saying.
Nope. He was less problematic then.
Don't need your words. Nope.
I will take him in 17 more Transformers films if it'll keep him from acting up.
I will take you as the random guy number 3 at the back of the bus busting out the song. I am content with you being there.
All right. Well, Karen's got her demands on the list. Elderly man accidentally shoots his wife. Oh wait, we talked about this. What? How am I reading this article again? Is that unbelievable? Shot his wife at church. All right, this is scary. So North Korea had a soldier defect. It's very rare that this happened, but he defected from North Korea to South Korea. Now,
change sides.
Yeah, it means you like, hey, please, I don't want, I hate this country, take me, like, I'm out. North Korea is alleged to have some very horrible conditions there. So he ran to South Korea. He ran across the demilitarized zone, which is like this zone where they not need, no one's supposed to be going across there. Like, it's not, you know, like they actively not supposed to be shooting at each other, but they always have it occupied. Well, when he ran across, he got shot up, but he still survived somehow and made it to the other side. But while this happened, they had to try to save his life. So the surgeons were doing some work on him, and they found dozens of parasitic worms as long as 11 inches in his intestinal wounds.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
no wonder why he was running.
Yeah, you know, and there's all kinds of rumors about the poverty and the nutritional conditions of North Korea, and
it's very closed off and shut off from like society.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, and since it's so closed off, you can't really confirm. You don't know what's propaganda, what's not. Honestly,
everything is always he say, she say.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, people are so distrustful of the government that it's nothing they could tell us that would make me feel like, oh, well, that's definitely what it's like. Like, I'll be like, well, that's propaganda to make me not like them for some reason. I don't, maybe they communist or they're something, but I get they're bad hombres, as Trump would say. But you can't really fake this. I mean,
no, you can't.
This is pretty real.
And it's just one person. So imagine, yeah, you know, what other people.
Imagine the surgeon that had to do this.
They were looking at the nurses, other doctors.
Oh my God.
Are you looking at this x-ray too?
Oh my God.
What the hell is happening here?
It's still coming. That worm is still coming out.
Oh my God.
When is it going to end? Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Mm-mm. That's how that went.
Yeah, I can't even.
Everybody in the room was looking at each other like,
mm-hmm.
Are you serious? Like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, taking the scalpel.
And he survived.
Oh my God, it's coming out of her.
Mm-hmm.
I can call my father, Jesus. How I love him and trust him.
Mm-hmm. It would be coming. That's how they was putting the worms out. It's coming out of him.
Wow.
In my 20 years as a surgeon, I've only seen something like this in a medical textbook, said Dr. Lee Kup Jong, a lead surgeon. The discovery opened a window to the dire conditions in North Korea, including poor hygiene and nutrition. The news shocked many people in prosperous South Korea. Surgeons raced to save the North Korean soldier, whose name and rank have not been released, who sustained serious bullet wounds racing across the border while his own troops fired at him. So he got shot by his own troops. Like, bitch, if I gotta stay, you gotta stay. Pow, 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 pow. Maybe get away with some secrets or something.
Mm-hmm.
We found dozens of fully grown parasitic worms in his damaged intestines. It was a serious parasitic infection. During a news briefing this week, Dr. Lee showed the photographs of worms as long as 10 or 11 inches. Experts in parasitic worms were not surprised, however. They said the finding was consistent with the broad sense of conditions in the isolated impoverished North. Defectors to the South have cited the existence of parasites and abysmal nutrition because it lacks chemical fertilizers. Oh, so much for live natural. These, everybody's always like, we got to go pure natural, no fertilizers, no insecticides.
It's not that, probably the ground, like, you,
and I mean, I'm going by what the experts say. Okay. I mean, but if you feel like it's not that, then go ahead, Karen. I mean, it's always funny because people are like, it's funny, some of the diet crazes will be like, we need to go back to how the caveman ate, and I'm like, cavemen live for 30 years?
I mean, you ain't gotta do that, but you know, and the thing is, because they don't have the standards that a lot of other places have too, it's probably not safe to do that. Like, who knows how contaminated the soil is and shit? Like, we don't know.
I'm saying some of the stuff that we knock or that people kind of, we want to be health conscious.
Correct.
So we say certain things and it's like, or.
Oh, okay.
And by that token, also, we live much longer than ever before. So sometimes we say shit like, oh, we don't need no chemicals. Apparently you need some. Like,
you need something.
I ain't saying you need all the chemicals. I'm not saying every chemical is good for you.
But you need a little bit.
But apparently some of this shit is okay, because I don't want fucking 50 parasites living in my stomach doing the motherfucking
Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, like they're 11 inches long, nigga. That's a person. That's a face hugger from fucking aliens, bro.
Come on, dog.
Like 11 inches long, I'm charging you rent. You can't just stay here for free.
I can tell you, that's the length of a baby.
But yeah, so they said defective to the cervicitis is a parasite that in a 2014 study, South Korean doctors checked a sample of 17 female defectors from North Korea and found 7 of them were infected with parasitic worms. The North Korean soldier drove a jeep into the joint security area, one of the most highly guarded portions of the demilitarized zone. On Monday, he then ran across the border to defect to the south while fellow North Korean troops unleashed a hail of rifle and pistol shots trying to stop him. He collapsed about 55 yards south of the border, bleeding profusely. South Korean officers pulled him to safety and the United States Black Hawk military helicopter rushed him to a hospital near Seoul. We still got our helicopters over there. What else he got over there? Where he underwent a series of surgeries. His was the most dramatic defection from North Korea in years, making headlines in South Korea. But most of the startling news came from the doctors who were working to clean and patch up his digestive itinerary tract, which was torn by bullets.
He survived that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the thing that was really significant is that North Korean soldiers that are deployed near the border actually get the best in food rationing. So
holy shit.
Yeah, they also found kernels of corn in his stomach.
Corn is one of them things where it's like, oh, I'm here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Corn is like, what you ain't gonna do, digestive system, is digest me.
South Korea was itself inflicted with widespread parasitic infections through the 1970s, when more than 80% of the population carried parasitic worms. After a 9-year-old girl died in 1963, ooh, doctors found more than 1,000 parasitic worms in her body. The country launched a national campaign to eradicate the parasites. Schools collected stool samples from students and distributed anti-parasitic pills. The campaign succeeded. Parasitic infections have become rare in South Korea as hygiene and economic conditions have improved. Yo, imagine a campaign that's like for children and shit, like come to school and poop so we can collect the samples and see if you got parasite. How do you even make that fun? You know, cause you try to make shit fun for kids. It's cause you know they did. I mean, the same way we had McGruff the Crime Dog and the fucking Talk Gus the Bus.
Yes.
They must have had, you know, I don't know, you the stool coming through like, oh, yes, kids, it's time to take a poopy. Time to see if you got some worms. Oh no, it's the worms. Take a bite out of poop. I don't know what the slogan. I don't know what the slogan was, guys. Get on the stool. I don't know.
Don't clutch those butt cheeks, kids.
Right.
Ah.
Ugh, that's gross. That's terrible. I guess maybe it's different with diseases because that's crime and riding the bus. I guess. It's not like we have a lice mascot, you know. We had Smokey the Bear, which I guess is for forest fires, but yes, that's about as close as we get. But it's probably just like a talking toilet seat. It's got a little brown stuff on his mouth.
Oh,
feed me. No, I'm gonna check to see if he got worms. The wounded soldier, who's believed to be in his late 20s, is 5'5" tall and weighs 132 pounds. In contrast, the average high schooler male senior in South Korea is 5'8" tall and weighs 154 pounds. Shit. Man. Well, I mean, hopefully get them worms out of him if he live. Mm-hmm. An assembly eliminates Wisconsin's minimum hunting age. Not maximum.
Oh, so it was like, what was it? Shit, fine. They were like, fuck it.
Minimum hunting age.
So now anybody can be out there. You can be out there with your baby strapped on your back.
Mm-mm-mm. Babies killing babies. Literally.
What was it? They was like, fuck it. Let's just drop it lower.
It was 12 years old. Now they have restricted, they've taken that off to no matter how young you are, you can legally hunt in Wisconsin. So which I guess if it was in a woman's womb, it would be considered a life, according to them. So I guess even a fetus can probably get a gun. Now they're going to have fetus babies with little guns.
Come out holding a gun.
As soon as they pat it on his back, start crying, give it a gun.
Mm-hmm, and a hunting license.
Coming to the world like Yosemite Sam. Rooting this, tooting this.
Busting them caps.
Yeah, why would you eliminate a minimum age?
Right.
Children as young as 10 can already hunt under a mentored hunt program, but I guess 10 wasn't young enough. The only thing that can stop a bad kindergartner with a gun is a good kindergartner with a gun.
You don't get these kids fucking hemmed up. Them kids gonna shoot themselves or shoot some adult.
Right.
You know how short children's attention span is?
They gonna have a stand your ground case with like a 4-year-old.
Right. Being fidgety and shit, and this ain't no pie.
Mm-hmm. The Republican author bill would allow people any age to participate in a mentored hunt, effectively letting anyone hunt. The measure also eliminate the requirement that a hunter and a mentor have one weapon between them. So, the kid can have his own gun now. Before it was, we both have a gun.
Right. I normally carry the gun and I'll let you shoot every now and then.
Imagine this, guys. Imagine this. It's like having driver's ed, but instead of the driver ed teacher being on that other side of the car with the brake, your ass get a car, and then the driver get a car. The driver's educator get a car, and the person learning get a car. How would that make sense?
Gonna be a lot of dead children and people up there. Now, none of the animals gonna die. The animals gonna be gnawing on their stupid asses because they shot themselves back in Timbuktu in the middle of nowhere where it's a 5-mile, a 5-day hike to get to your ass.
Do you remember how hard it was just to get the learner's permit?
Yes.
Like, you had to take that 8-hour class or whatever the fuck. Then you had to get a certain amount of hours driving. And that's if you were lucky and were able to, like, not get it through the school. If you got it through the school, you took that class for everybody. It took a whole semester for everyone to get their driver's test. Just to get a permit which allows you to drive with an adult in the car.
And so, supervised in certain hours and all that shit.
Yeah, right? It depending on where you live, like, there's all these laws, like, not after dark, and you gotta have a parent or guardian. Some places are like, you can just have someone over 18. Like, a gun has less restrictions than that.
Right.
A fucking gun. A car can help you go to the grocery store. A car can get you to a job. A car can maybe pick up a kid. A car can do so many things. A car can, help you pack and move. A fucking gun has one thing it does. Shoot to kill. Shoot people. Shoot
That's
things.
That's all it do.
And you have much less of a fucking restriction on a gun.
Oh, somebody said a gun can get you a car.
A gun can get you a car.
Yes, it can.
Because it has one purpose.
Yes.
To kill a motherfucker.
Right, and you can have my goddamn car.
That's wild, man. So, yeah, they 34 other states already have no minimum hunting age.
34?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All them white states.
I feel like every state in America is white.
I mean, every state in America white, but I'm talking about, like, it's 80-90% white. That's what I'm talking about. Them in the corn and them in the trees and them in the barn, like,
I sincerely
in a small
doubt
2%.
I sincerely doubt that it's just white. I sincerely doubt it.
I mean, I know it's brown people sprinkled it all across the country.
I'm not talking about being sprinkled. I'm saying I guarantee some of these states are in the South, and the South has a lot of black and brown people in it.
That's true.
And them niggas love they motherfucking guns. I won't be surprised if Alabama or Mississippi ain't got no fucking minimum gun age. Like, ain't no, it's a lot of niggas down there. They probably why they don't got no minimum gun age. Need to teach these kids to shoot niggas early.
Right, but you
catch
know,
them too late and they got a conscience.
One thing happened to them niggas ain't got the guns. That's my whole point. Most of them don't.
Yeah,
guns.
Look, the relationship between gun ownership and black people is not about black people not being able to own a gun. It's just, it doesn't matter. Whether you had the paperwork or not, police decide they gonna shoot your ass and you legally got a registered gun. Look at Philando Castile. It doesn't matter. You know, that one dude that got shot in Florida that was in his car with his legally registered gun. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. So I don't think it's about the state being white or anything. The Keystone XL pipeline got Nebraska approval today, clearing a key hurdle in a 9-year effort and allowing Trump to claim a win. I mean, look, Standing Rock was cool and while it lasted, and a lot of people really dedicated a lot of time, but that was under an administration that really was making it a place where voices could be heard. This administration is less interested in that.
I ain't give a
and it was difficult under the Obama administration in the first place, you know, because, you know, the whole we gonna vote for president but let everybody else in the fucking country be a Republican thing wasn't necessarily the smartest way to govern, not necessarily the smartest thing to do. I mean, just my guess, you know, but for a country that claims to want all these progressive political things, you know, maybe don't hamstring the fucking president with a bunch of backwards ass racist Republicans. But hey, that's just the way I feel. Point being, you know, that was a Justice Department that was like putting injunctions on shit, and you know, that was a judiciary system going to certain courts and getting rulings and shit. Man, this man Trumping about to fast track the fuck out of this. So yep, not surprised at all.
Fuck,
it's been
drinking
approved.
Water up and all that shit. Fuck,
it's gonna be leaks,
right?
It's gonna people be gonna all everything they shit. Said everything those protesters said is gonna come to fruition,
right?
And nobody's gonna give a motherfuck,
right, until the shit start leaking in their front yard,
which it never will. That's why they approve these pipelines that way. It never will. Environmental racism, man, it's real. Like, you know, it's the reason. I mean, North Carolina, we have areas here in North Carolina where it just happens that the water's contaminated. Oh, and a lot of black people live there. A lot of brown people live there.
Yeah, a lot of fucking fracking too, tearing up people's water pipes and.
Yeah, but it's
water.
Not fracking everywhere. That's no, the point. It's fracking and it targets a community. Like, it goes beyond just this is bad. It's bad and it's happening to certain people, and other people never feel the weight of it, so they never feel the pressure of we need to stop this. It's why Flint, Michigan got sold out, because and no matter how many movies they make, no matter how much money they send over there, it won't matter, because systemically they're too black for people to care. It's right. Not gonna change, like, right. and they're just an example of one place in America. It's a lot of places like Flint,
right, that you will never hear of that don't got drinking water, just like they don't got drinking water, all because the value of a black life ain't worth the extra 50 cents or whatever poor fucking person to get good water.
Della Reese died today.
Oh,
yeah, 86 years old. Might know her from Touched by an Angel, or from me. I know her from Harlem Nights. My favorite Della Reese role.
What you gonna do, shoot my pinky toe?
What you gonna do with that little shit? Like, she's drying your pinky toe now. Keep playing. That's what I remember her from. But
depending on when you got introduced to her, but a lot of people know her from Touched by an Angel.
Yeah, that was one of her major claim to fame for a lot of white folks. Like, I seen, you could tell the publications was just like, Della Reese, the Touched by an Angel star. I'm like, or you know her from.
Mm-hmm. She was a comedian too, right?
Yeah, yeah. She was a comedian.
Yeah, comedian. I remember her.
Yeah, she was gospel influenced singer who in the middle age found her greatest fame as Tess the Wise Angel in the long running television drama Touched by an Angel.
How long that show was on forever, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shit, that might still be running.
Yep.
You done insulted me. And I got to kick your ass right now. And afterwards, I don't want no hard feelings either. What the fuck is wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. What the fuck is wrong with you? You done accused me of stealing. The only thing I'm stealing out here today is your face. You out of your fucking mind? Oh, yeah.
That was when he punched her back.
Yeah.
And like everybody watching, you started to feel like, oh, okay, you know, he punched her back. Eddie's starting to get in this thing, and she was like, that's what I'm talking about. And I don't know why this is not, I don't know if the video's playing or not. Is it in the chat?
We see the video.
Okay, yeah, it was kind of freezing on me.
You out of your fucking mind? Oh yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, sucker. Let's get it on. Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight? Well, then come on, goddammit. You've been fucking me since. I'm gonna beat the shit out of your old ass in this motherfucker, too. Yeah. You can punch people in their eyes, right? Right? Bitch! That all you got? Yeah, you didn't think it was gonna be like that, right? And now I'm gonna blast your motherfucking teeth out. Nigga, you hit like a bitch. Oh, you're a little slower than you thought, ain't you, huh? Yeah, I punch like a bitch, huh? Okay, I punch like a bitch? Y'all say goodnight to this bitch right now.
She knocked him in. That was when she knocked him into the trash can.
Yeah, she sent him sailing.
To learn to respect me. And the next time you accuse me of stealing, I'm gonna kick your ass again.
He hit her with the trash can lid.
That's the only way he was gonna stop her.
He was scared as hell after that.
No, he was.
Crazy bitch.
Oh, you wanna hit people with garbage cans?
The Jaws music started playing. She put out a razor blade.
Put that razor away. I ain't playing no more. You put that fucking razor away, I'm gonna blow your goddamn pinky toe off.
Oh, now you're gonna shoot me in my pinky toe.
Oh my god, listen. A motherfucking revelation.
Yeah, his eyes got big as shit when she got back up. He was like, oh shit, I'm about to fuck up.
Your fave could never.
Could never be that fun at all.
Never ever. She gave you everything. The range.
Right, and I love that movie. And just about everybody in the movie is passed.
I know. Red Fox. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Robin Harris was in that joint. Richard Pryor.
Yes, sir.
Is Richard Pryor dead? I don't know if Richard Pryor dead. I can't remember.
I think he is.
Yeah, I don't remember. I hope not, but I don't remember.
Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, a lot of people passing that joint, man. That's my movie, man. Richard Pryor's dead. So, yeah, that's my movie, man. That was, one of my favorite. And then what was funny is, little known story, but you had to be there. You had to be alive for this.
Right.
One of my favorite movies, you look at the critical reviews of that movie, got panned.
Right.
Mostly by white critics.
Yes.
And mostly as a rejection of what Eddie Murphy was doing. It's sad because I feel like Eddie Murphy won't get some of the props that he deserves. Obviously, he's done a lot of homophobic shit. I don't know that his bits have aged well. I'm not even really trying to debate that. If you don't think it's funny, I get it.
I do too.
You know, but being that young, coming off of Saturday Night Live, he was a fucking tour de force. He was, like, honestly, if you weren't there at the time, I don't think there's any way you can see him as funny as those of us that were alive at the time do.
Right.
Not that everybody does, but just, like, I think over the years it become like Eddie's associated with some of the bad movies that he made. He's associated with the fact that he won't do stand up again and all this stuff. But he was amazing on SNL. He leaves there. He goes and has a movie career, and it wasn't just straight comedy, you know, but he had a lot of, like, it was like leading man shit. Beverly Hills Cop.
Boomerang.
Before that though.
Yeah.
Even in Beverly Hills Cop, like, him having a sex scene with a white woman at the time was a huge deal. Like,
yes, it was.
Now I can see everybody just rolling their eyes and shit at it. But at that time, Hollywood just wasn't letting that kind of shit happen.
Mm-mm.
So it was like, what is up with Eddie, you know, with this shit? Then you ended up having the movie career. And more importantly than just the movie career, it was the power brokerage that he had. It was the fact that it was coming to America and he had all that power. Harlem Nights, all that power. Vampire in Brooklyn, all that power. He's casting pure black cast. Boomerang. Like, these, and I feel, in my opinion, the movies have aged well. Like, his stand-up may not have aged as well because of, you know, modern sensibilities, and we know more than we knew at the time. People have more voices than they had at the time.
Correct.
And even then, it was still, for me, it was like, oh yeah, I can see how that's a bit much. But movie-wise, like, Boomerang aged well.
Yeah, somebody said 48 Hours, Trading Places. Those movies actually aged well.
And then,
too.
See, I wasn't even going to name those movies because I'm talking about when he really took control.
Okay. Yes,
like,
yes,
when
yes,
he's,
yes.
like, writing, directing, right. producing, like, that shit, that was some unprecedented level shit that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think a lot of that was resentment that, like, the reviews for the movie started being so bad. There was like, okay, man, some of this is resentment because you're not going to tell me Harlem Nights is not a good movie.
Right.
What it is a movie that doesn't care about white people as an audience.
Correct.
Black people fucking love Harlem Nights to this day.
Right. It is a still classic.
You know, like that's one of those movies. Boomerang is a movie where it's just a bunch of black professionals in a world that probably doesn't really even exist. But it's just this world of corporate America and high level black professionals. And it just stars Eddie Murphy and a bunch of comedians and shit. And keep in mind, after this, you could almost make that a genre now.
Yes, you can.
Every year there's at least one or two of these movies that star like Morris Chestnut as a black professional and works in an all black office with all black people. And you're like, how did that happen? Eddie was the first to be on that shit, man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really think, the fact that he sort of disregarded the white gaze and shit at that time, while his movies may not have been perfect, mm-hmm. I really think it was so powerful that's what a lot of this backlash comes from.
Of course, it's always backlash when black people do shit and we go, well, fuck our white folks. And black folks like, how dare you do something I can't relate? But bitch, I'm supposed to be able to relate to every goddamn thing you do.
Right. I mean, and the thing is, and this is something obviously if you listen to this podcast, you know we believe it. You can appeal to black people and still be universally funny. I don't need to step on this mic and be like, what are white people gonna think? I don't need to make a show and do every article, you know. I no offense to other podcasts, but I listen to other podcasts where like they start the article and it's almost like, okay, listen, white people, we're gonna walk you through this. And I'm like, I don't need you to walk me through it. I already know what swag means. Like, you ain't gotta re-explain it to me. They can Google it. But and there's nothing wrong with that if that's, you know, because I'm not trying to come down on other black people for doing that. We live in a white world, you have to explain sometimes. But it says something about who your audience is in your eye, the things that you do pick and choose to explain, right? So his movies felt like I don't have to explain, you know what I mean? Like they have white people in it, but the joke isn't look at this white person. It's more subtle because black people are already laughing at that. So they like the Sunshine Clip in Harlem Nights.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just go, oh, look at this white person. It's funny because we're already like, look at this white man sleeping with Sunshine about to leave his whole motherfucking ass white family.
What?
Like, you know,
leave them all.
It was just amazing, man. So, yeah, man, and rest in peace. You know, like I said, that's the role I'll remember her for.
Yes, yes, sir.
But I understand that, you know, most people will probably remember her for Touched by an Angel.
Right.
Which is nothing wrong with that either. Mm-mm. But listen, that fight scene between her and motherfucking Quick is an all-timer. All right, let's see what else is happening out here in these streets. Oh, Crack is back.
I never knew it went away. Did it take a break?
Crack is back. Yes, it did go away. It did take a break, obviously. Okay. As evidenced by, you know, the black community change, like, you know, the fact that you can still drive through the neighborhoods and not get shot. Crack was terrible for our hood.
Yeah, you know? but I mean people act like crack people just stopped doing crack. Like, I just assumed it.
The numbers went down.
Yeah, not as many people, but when you say it went away, I was like, well, it never just disappeared.
Okay. All right. Well, I think
the numbers went down tremendously compared to what it was.
I remember growing up in the crack era and it was a little scary.
Correct. You know? Correct.
If anything, it'll be interesting because this is in the UK.
Okay.
That crack is back. And it's because crack prices went down.
Oh shit. The price of the brick went down.
Yeah, crack went down so far in price over there that in 2002 the British government was concerned enough to produce a national crack strategy. And now after a relative reduction in use, the drug is making a worrying comeback. So I guess they gotta watch out over there.
But here in the United States, a lot of it is just educating people and stuff like that, and it broke and destroyed so many families for particularly in the black community, many generations. Like, some generations are just like the first one or two generations away from, like I said, a crack epidemic. So, you know, I think that had a lot to do with the decreased number. Somebody made a good point. It's one of those things, but opioids is new crack, and that's quote-unquote affecting white people.
Yeah, the difference with crack to me is that it was affecting black people and it was purposeful.
Correct.
Now, what I think would be interesting, I hope we never find out, but in the new, like, woke age of empathy and seeing things systemically and stuff, which I'm not 100% sure isn't just kind of a Twitter academia slash thing, like, I'm not 100% sure if that resonates throughout the whole community, but one thing I would worry about is it's easy for us to talk shit that didn't live through something or who have forgotten what we lived through.
Correct.
Because people talk about the unfair sentencing laws, people talk about the Clinton crime bill. What they don't talk about is that crack was ravaging our communities as black people so bad.
It was bad.
They basically went and asked for these people to be locked up.
Yes, they did.
You know, now systemic racism is what it is, right? It's going to take that shit and be like, yeah, nigga, well, now that we got you here, well, let's monetize the fuck out of the fact that we locking your ass up. You know, let's strip your right to vote. Let's strip the, you know, let's make sure you can't get a job
later. Yes.
You know, let's give you harsh sentencing that, you know, but I remember at the time, and this happens with most criminal punishments, we treat things as, punitive, which means it'll also be preventative, which aren't, the two don't go together.
No, they don't.
And especially when you're talking about drug addiction is not like other crimes.
Mm-mm.
Crack was so powerful, it was leading to other crimes.
Right.
So it was, yes, I'm addicted to drugs, and now I have to steal a radio because I need the money for the drugs. So you have that. Then you had the fact that the money was so ruthless, and you had motherfucking violence in the neighborhoods now because you had people selling drugs out of these neighborhoods, and you know it's already a legal act. You got to protect your shit. Motherfuckers trying to rob you for your crack, try to rob you for your money from selling crack. Like, it was just rife for the community at large to not want people involved with crack to be in the name. It's like they forgot these are your brothers and sisters. They forget that these are your family. It's like, you just gotta go.
Right.
You know, what I do know is my car got broken into. I don't give a fuck about who did it. I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care about you as a human being anymore. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Don't ever come out. So
that's what happened.
We fed a lot of people. And I mean, we as in the black community, we fed a lot of people into the jaws of the prison industrial complex.
Yep, and broke them families up.
I wonder if it would happen again. Cause I just think now we have more scope. We know exactly what the penalties would be. We know we cannot plead ignorance now. We can't claim like we didn't know it would be so bad. We know it's even more rife with the private, prison industrial complex. It's even more rife for abuse. I would be scared if crack came back, especially if black and brown people were on it, because it's not going to get treated like opioid addiction.
Oh, no. It won't be a face of it. They won't be trying to reform the laws because while niggas and brown people was on it, nobody give a fuck about them drug laws. And the second they was like, oh, white people, we got to crack y'all upside asses with these same laws. Whoa. Not my baby. Not my child. Not me, the billionaire. No, not me. All of a sudden, we got to have compassion. They are people. Why can't we just put them in rehab? Why do we have to do this? And why can't we wean them off the drugs? And why can't we get them help?
Yeah, I just think you have to be careful because like I said, I just hope it doesn't come back over here. I think a lot of people that talk a good game would not live up to it's just easier to live in the fictional, like, I would do this and we would do this in the community.
Right.
I think one of the most, we're not this combined community that's a monolith that can handle that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And especially under an administration like this, cause this is when we get hurt the worst, you know, cause as much as people talk about the Clinton administration, which, you know, obviously, a lot of black people every administration, black people are going to be fucked up under. That's just because it's the United States. But there are certain politicians that have, like, made it worse. And Reagan was one when I was a kid. Bush was definitely one. And I mean both Bushes, but especially that first trickle-down economics motherfucker. Certain Nixon, certain people facilitate, you know, the encourage even. And that scares the fuck out of me, a Trump administration and a crack epidemic at the same time. We couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. And I hope that, you know, the UK is able to get a hold of it too, because I mean crack is just one of those drugs where it's not like weed or some shit. I don't want nobody to be on crack, like it's so fucked up,
right? Nobody. And it's one of those things where like everything else, nobody cares until it's their family member, nobody cares until it's their loved one, nobody cares until, you know, their family member dies or overdose, right? Or, you know, a family member robs them, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, your views on this stuff change, because people who have never been addicted to drugs or had any type of heavy addiction, quote unquote, like drugs, alcohol, you know, these various other things, a lot of people have a tendency to be very, very, very extremely judgmental. Why don't you just get off of it? Why don't you just stop? Why don't you just put it down? Like, the shit is that goddamn simple. I personally have compassion, because I do understand that human beings, I do understand this addiction. And the way I look at it, everybody has an addiction. Some people's addictions are very different than others. But everybody has a form of addiction. You have people that will cuss their motherfucking kid out if they don't get a fucking cup of coffee. But you gonna look at somebody with a crack pipe and go, put that crack pipe down. And if I tell you you can't have coffee today, you'll burn the motherfucking house down. And addiction is an addiction in my mind. And people don't look at those and saying, no, you might not be robbing and stealing and killing, but it's something that alters your body. It's something that affects you. It's something that you can truly go through withdrawals and shit like that. They can affect your body. But a lot of people have a tendency to put themselves on this high horse because they go, well, not me. I would never make that choice. I would never make that decision. You don't know it unless you've been in a situation where you've been pressured. You don't know it. You don't know what people had to go through to make these choices and make these decisions to do this. You don't know. Like, when people go, I'd never be a prostitute. You don't know what you would do until your back is pressed up against the wall. You don't know what you would do if you was ever homeless and without, and your family kicked you out for whatever reason. You really don't know. And so I have a tendency not to judge people in these situations, because the thing is, people sit on their high horses if they think that it will never happen to them, or if they think that they're so special or above the frail that I would never do anything like this. Until something looks you in your eye, or until a situation sits you in the face, you don't know what you would and wouldn't do.
To me, it's not even about whether or not you would do drugs. I don't know. I mean, I know I feel pretty certain to be like, I'm never going to do crack. Like, that's not that, to me, that's not that, like, crazy of a situation to be like. I feel like the judgment comes with the, what I worry about is the lack of empathy towards black and brown people when they are on the drugs.
That's the problem I have.
You know what I mean? It's easy for people to talk a good game. Mm-hmm. It really is. But it's not when it's like, when you're having drive-bys, when you have kids caught in the crossfire, when you have drug dealers on your block and it doesn't feel like anyone's coming to do anything about it. They're being bad influences. There's violence. There's all this shit. You're watching, you know, motherfuckers that the empathy's supposed to extend to them as drug dealers, but then they would sell a rock to your motherfucking mama and be like, I don't give a fuck about her, you know? It's not the kind of drug that can even be treated as, well, it'll be fine. Like, no, people are gonna be sucking dick for drugs. People are gonna be every crime's gonna go up if there's crack in the community.
Correct.
So it's just easy to sit detached from it and tweet about it or write to think piece or go on, you know, give a speech about it. But it's much harder when the problem is real, because then the only thing people care about is the solution, and they don't have time or care about the whole empathy approach or the. Mm-hmm. And I worry about any time black people, brown people are associated with a drug, because that drug immediately becomes negative in America's connotation. It won't be like, well, then, like, we got, part of the reason weed is illegal is because they associated it to black people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, these black people are gonna get on these drugs and they're gonna rape your women. They're gonna get on these drugs, they're gonna get violent. And it's like, it doesn't even have to be true. Mm-mm. That just tells you how strong racism is.
Right.
That people are like, I don't care if it's true or not. If that's what they say, and I'm scared of black people. Anyway, point being, like, it won't be like the opioid thing. like, I'm not, you know, no offense to the opioid epidemic. I mean, those families, that's terrible and everything.
Right, and that's the thing.
They're white families for the most part. That's terrible. But they actually get treatment. They actually have resources. They actually have people looking out for them, trying to stop them.
Correct.
And even when you look at, like, Maryland, you still have, like, I think it's the governor up there blaming black people for white people doing opioids. You know? So it's like that kind of shit where it's like, they're still more afraid of racism than drugs, and I don't want to see that shit get combined again, because that's scary as fuck when,
yes it is,
you combine the racial hatred of black people and the lack of empathy people have for black people when they are addicts, because we basically locked up a generation of addicts. Not, it wasn't just drug dealers and shit, we made the amount so small, basically you being an addict meant you went to prison,
right?
Federal prison, by the way, federal time. All right, so anyway, that was a scary story, but that's in the UK, and I don't know how they handled it over there, but my guess is,
I hope they don't do it like they did over here.
My guess is, if it was black and brown people, probably the same. Speaking of which,
we're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe and we assign different point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. Who's fucking with us today, Karen? Let's see. Here's one. All right. Wild carny freak shit. Internet loses it over Take a Knee, My Ass, Anthem, Tantrum, Country Song. That's a hell of a title.
Long ass title.
Very long.
We could have shortened this.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, people are still upset about the NFL players that take a knee on Sundays during NFL games, which I don't know why they ever thought it would stop, but I mean, they're upset. Well, yesterday, country singer Neil McCoy dropped his latest single, an apparent protest song against athletes taking a knee in protest to police brutality. The sentiment was not unusual, but the song's title, Take a Knee, My Ass, I Won't Take a Knee, in parentheses, I Won't Take a Knee, left some of Twitter scratching their heads. Yeah.
I hope it's better.
Can they play this on the radio? What's going on in the country music station?
I don't know. Is this better than the LL Cool J country song?
I don't think anything could be better than Accidental Racist, Karen.
Okay, that's the name of that song.
I don't think. I mean,
that's an all-time classic.
You're asking for a miracle here.
I mean, come on.
Let me see if I can play the song, because it's moving all slow on my... Oh, okay. Maybe I can play it from here. Take a Knee, My Ass. 3 minutes long. All right. wonder if he was like, I just feel like Kaepernick took a knee and this dude started writing a song 2 years ago, like, hold my beer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
So far, so good.
Okay. I'll stand and place my hand upon my heart every time her anthem plays.
As is your right, you know. If you want to do that, that's fine.
When I see somebody on TV take their stand on bended knee, whether it's on AstroTurf or grass.
Okay.
I think of those whose freedom was not free. I say, take a knee, my ass. I'll stand up for...
Wait a minute.
That was a beat flip.
First of all, did the beat drop?
Yeah, it did. The beat changed.
Did Crit produce this? Secondly, what the fuck you mean you think of those whose freedom was not free? Whose freedom in this country wasn't free, though?
Come on.
I mean, if we had to take a guess of, like, if we had, like, how much did you pay for your freedom? Like, if we had an exchange rate, maybe, like, we had a little system, like a little measuring stick, who dollars of freedom cost the most. I feel like the black people got, I feel like we may have paid a lot. Like, maybe not the most. Like, maybe Native Americans paid the most.
Yeah, they got the highest.
Like, Indigenous Americans probably paid the most.
Mm-hmm.
But nigga, like, we are, I feel like you are at the bottom of the scale, Mr. McCoy, is what I'm saying. Like, how much did you pay for your freedom? The, whatever it costs for your, the ship to come over with your peoples is what you paid? Did you pay for it out of your grandfather's land and the inheritance? Come on.
Fly, take off my hat for old glory. Thank God I live in the home of the brave and the land of the free. I honor the ones who gave it all, so we're all free to go play ball. If only for their sake, I won't take a knee. Valley Forge to Vietnam, 9/11 to Afghanistan, that star-spangled banner does yet wave.
Jesus Christ, I can't listen to the rest of this.
This is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even a good song. It's just the fact that he don't like Kaepernick and them taking a knee. Zero to 100, Karen.
Oh, he get 100 just for the song being bad.
Mm-hmm. I give it 100. Get Out is going to compete into comedy genre at the Golden Globes.
But it wasn't a comedy.
A lot of people have been saying that. It was
not a comedy.
What would you describe it as?
I don't know, but...
You don't know what to describe it as. Interesting.
But I didn't leave the movie like, boy, that Get Out was funny as shit, though. I didn't leave going like that, so I don't consider it a comedy.
Yeah, I feel like it... Here's my problem, though. If it competes in comedy and I had to vote, I'd have to give it to Girls Trip. Girls Trip came out this year in the comedy genre.
It's so much better.
Now, here's the thing, though. Okay, guys. All right. I know we all have...
For comedy. You know, for like a true comedy.
For comedy, yeah. Right. In the genre, yeah. Here's the thing, guys. I know you Negroes are upset. Blacks. I'm not going to say blacks. African-Americans, okay? I don't even say Black Friday. I say African-American Friday or Friday of Color, as Tracy told me on Twitter. Listen, what I'm saying is this. Get Out is the genre that it is placed in is decided by the studio and the director. So it's not decided by the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Because some people feel like, oh, they put it in this category. No, they didn't. Jordan Peele and the studio said we want to compete in the comedy genre.
Okay.
Here's the reason that matters. The comedy genre... at the Golden Globes, one, not that strict, not that in the foreign press is if you watch the Golden Globes, it's the fun award show. It's the, they got the more of the jokes and it's not as serious, you know, and all that stuff. But the comedy genre allows them a better chance to win. And it's basically the studio and Jordan Peele playing chess. Cause they'd rather win the Golden Globe and say, my film going into the Oscars won 3 Golden Globes or some shit like that, than to take a L in the right category, whichever you consider, cause they don't have a horror category.
Okay.
Yeah. So to take the L in the other category where they feel like they have less of a chance of winning and they don't get the award and then they go into the Oscars kind of cold turkey. You know, totally on you people how they feel about, like, I'm not telling people how to feel about it, but I just know a lot of misinformation about, like, they put them in the comedy category was out there, and it's like, that's not true. Another thing that may help the way people feel about this, if depending on how much you guys know movies, the comedy category ain't been comedies in a long time.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Right. Okay, so last year, you know what won for best comedy?
What?
La La Land.
That's not... Look,
La La Land.
the musical La La Land, they were singing shit.
Right. Not a comedy. If you guys saw La La Land, which most of you probably didn't because y'all black, but it wasn't a comedy. I did see it. I do know. Yeah,
didn't nobody tell me about the slapstick comedy that was busting their sides called La La Land.
Here are the other movies in the category last year. La La Land won. Remember, guys, La La Land won.
Okay.
For comedy. 20th Century Women. Deadpool, which was a comedy.
Right.
Florence Foster Jenkins, and then Sing Street. 2015, what do you think won for Golden Globes Best Comedy? The Martian.
The Martian?
Not a comedy.
Well, that nigga went to the Mars.
But what happens is, La La Land, The Martian, these movies go on to compete for Oscars. And they like to have that win so they can go, we won the comedy Golden Globe, but they're just going to say, we won 7 Golden Globes or whatever. And then they go into the Oscars like, how can you deny my momentum? But they're putting the film there on purpose to avoid the other competition with the main films. The Martian won. The Big Short was in there as comedy. Joy was in there as comedy. The one with
Hun and Mop.
Yep. Spy was an actual comedy.
Spy was an actual comedy,
and
right.
And Trainwreck was an actual comedy.
Yes, it was.
2014, the Grand Budapest Hotel one, which I think was actually a comedy, but it's the one of them Wes Anderson quirk comedies.
Yeah,
which,
I'm not.
Birdman was in this category.
That was a comedy, right?
Birdman's not a comedy.
Oh.
Into the Woods, not a comedy at all. Pride and St. Vincent. American Hustle won in 2013.
That's not a comedy.
Not a comedy. Mm-mm. Her was nominated in this category.
That's definitely not a comedy.
Not a comedy. Mm-mm. Inside Llewyn Davis, not a comedy. Nebraska, not a comedy. Wolf of Wall Street, not a fucking comedy.
That's not a comedy.
I just wanted to point out, and it's best musical / comedy. So La La Land, you could kind of make an argument.
Okay, yeah.
Les Miserables won 1 year. So if you make an actual musical, you probably will win.
Okay.
But obviously, normally we only get one musical a year. But yeah, man, these movies. So anyway, all that to say, I'm zero fucked with. That's all I wanted to say. Karen, what about you?
Now, since you explained zero, because that explains, I was like, ah. Like I said, when they say comedy, I'm with my American naked nerd ass going, comedy. Okay, that wasn't a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you didn't give me a score.
Oh, zero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At first it was 100 because I was like, this ain't no comedy.
I saw that up and down my time. I saw on my Facebook page, I said, I almost want to correct everybody and tell y'all why this ain't really black people getting pushed to the side again. Like, this is actually okay and fine. But I was like, I'm kind of enjoying all the black rage that I'm not participating in. I'm kind of enjoying sipping on my coffee and watch everybody be mad and be like, yeah, well, y'all, I guess y'all don't know, but the studio and Jordan Peele, that's the strategy. They think they can win by putting a movie here rather than competing against, I don't know, Detroit and, you know, I don't know what all the movies of this year are going to be that are the serious movies.
Yeah, that shit two people watched.
Yeah, but you know it's coming down. I mean, we're getting screeners right now and I can... 90% of the movies, I'm like, I haven't even heard of this fucking movie. Mm-hmm. But those are the kind of, it's like, it's a movie about a 97-year-old woman who's in love with the corpse of her husband, who is reanimated using technology. It's the only film starring a woman over 175 in the history of this,
right,
of movies. And you're like, well, obviously that woman's going to win. Just like, how you going to turn that sweet old woman down, you know? Henderson police investigate messages with racial and anti-gay slurs against a new brewery. Hendersonville, North Carolina. Police are investigating messages that contain racial and anti-gay slurs that were sent out to one of the newest breweries in the mountains. Black Star Line Brewing opened in downtown Hendersonville about a month ago, and the owner said that goal is to have a business where patrons can feel free to be themselves. It's like very pro-black, pro-LGBT. Well, over the past 2 days, messages have started appearing in the comments section of the website.
I know it has.
The messages contain threats of violence and even threats of death against blacks and gays. This place exists for people to be welcome and included, not hated or threatened. So this only proves the necessity for a place such as this, says Javier Naranjo, Black Star's operations manager. Folks were there Friday night for beer, but that's not all. Some folks have become regulars in just a short time. Others were there because of what they've heard. It just makes you feel sick that this place might not be welcome in our town, one patron said. Black Star Line solicits comments about quality service, maybe some customer advice on his website, but they didn't expect threats. A Hendersonville police officer was at the business Friday evening investigating the latest email that came in earlier in the day, one of three in the past 2 days. While investigators do their job, people who love this mountain city are stopping in for beer to offer their support. The people here tonight, I think especially tonight, are coming out to take a stand and say that it's not acceptable. We're here for more than this, Naranjo said. When Derek and Summer Stipe heard that what was happening, they brought the whole family. For our town, I think it's huge that a queer black owned brewery will open in Hendersonville is courageous, and they're welcome here. We're very arts minded, but also very inclusive neighborhood, and I feel like, you know, either get on board or go somewhere else. Hendersonville resident Dane Whitlock said.
Mm-hmm. It's going towards near Asheville.
That's right. Asheville is a very like artsy part of North Carolina, for those that don't know. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, a 100. And Think Pretty Smart said the right thing. Yeah, people probably putting that shit on the site probably don't live nowhere, even in the state of North Carolina. People do that shit, but they just find people and just post it. That's a strategy. They get together and put it on a Reddit board or something. Like, these are the places we want you attacking. People just bombard them with bullshit.
Yeah, I give it 100. I give it 75. Obviously, the threats and the harassment is terrible. I do appreciate the community, people coming out in person with their face, bringing your family and shit to be like, yeah, we support y'all and it's cool. Like, y'all welcome here, and you know, I do appreciate that.
Correct.
Chrisette Michelle came out with a new song called Black Lives Matter. Posted on the Instagram.
What's supposed to be understood will always be misunderstood until it's time to be understood, enlightened where the evil's removed. What's supposed to be truly heard won't be in the poetry of words. It will be in lessons discerned if the flesh releases concerns. Every word I say ain't a word. All that I believe ain't for grabs. It's okay to be who you are. If it serves you, stay.
That's all she had on her Instagram. So welcome back to the cookout. Mm-mm. Chrisette, we missed you, you know. Said a lot of hurtful Mm-mm. things, a lot of Mm-mm. things out of step with the community, but you know what, man, well, we can't stay mad forever. I wish you could have got to the chorus. Oh wait, it's on Spotify. Hold on, maybe I can get to the chorus. Karen's thing is not convinced. Maybe if I get to the chorus.
If love is love is love is love is love is love, then what is one is one is one is everyone. The problem is when it's us, it's us, it's us. If my life matters, then stay. What's true? Would it be black? Whatever the hue, would you fight back? Is your birthday? Doesn't it match? Stand when you stand, stand with my black. If love is love, don't we all match? Cause if it's true, is it just black? Feel in the space, stand in the gap. And when I stand, stand with my black. Racism is loud and it's clear.
I mean, Karen, and now that you heard the chorus, I know you probably are completely broke down. So, I would guess zero for both of us. Mm-hmm. And we can move to the next mm-hmm. one.
No, I don't give her zero. I give her a 100. And the reason why I give her a smooth 100 is because at one period of time have you apologized to the black women mm. like me who's a fan of yours. Like, I was a fan. I've been to your concert. I supported you. Now, one time have you truly came out and gave an honest, heartfelt apology about your bullshit? Not one time. You think you're supposed to come and write a lullaby and sing in front of me? She has a gorgeous voice. This is a pretty song. I'm not knocking the song, but it's one of those things where you think you can just come and sing and dance your way back, but not apologize. We live in an age where that's not happening, you know, and me as being a fan of hers, I'm offended by what she did. And people like me are probably never going to support you again and never going to come back because I know I feel betrayed by what you did.
Well, she apologized for performing at the Trump inauguration. Not enough.
No, because my thing is this, and maybe because particularly I'm a black woman, and black woman was your support and your backbone and what kept your record selling and all that stuff. And my thing is this, if Black Lives Matter, why wouldn't Black Lives Matter when you made the decision to do that? All of a sudden, Black Lives Matter. All of a sudden, you being considerate.
I do remember her saying, like, all lives matter at that time.
Right.
I do remember that.
So my...
She said, I did something that hurt a lot of people. It was offensive. While that wasn't my intention, it's what happened, and for that, I'm deeply sorry. Not enough. Mm-mm. Well, she also said that she thinks the backlash to this caused her to miscarry. So she... She miscarried through all the stress and stuff that was put on her, I guess, throughout that situation. But in the post that she had a picture of a miscarriage in, it was a picture of somebody else's miscarriage. So,
which is fucked up. And that goes back to what I was saying. You apologized to that woman you did that to? Mm-hmm. Have you apologized? It's like this. Okay, people mess up, and I completely understand that people mess up. People fuck up. But the thing about it is that people are grown and they can do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But you pay people to help you make these decisions. And from my understanding, and I might be wrong from what I heard, niggas was like, bitch, don't do that shit. Like, people's like, don't do this.
Yeah, everybody said don't.
Right, don't do this. You made the conscious choice with your free will to do this. But then you didn't want to accept the consequences from your choices. And then you end up, instead of you saying, okay, y'all, I fucked up, I'd be like, okay, cool. It was, nah, y'all niggas turning. I did this for y'all. I did that for y'all. Me. Not really considering the people that you disappointed, because there's a lot of people that looked at you and was like, okay, you singing about my life. I relate to you. As a black woman, I have a connection to you. And all of a sudden, it was this turn. And you disappointed people, and instead of you acknowledging the disappointment that you caused people off of your actions, you act like something's wrong with the people for responding to the shit you did, like your actions never took place, like what you did didn't matter, how they responded was bigger than what you did. What you did prompt the reaction, and you can't erase that and go past that and sing and dance and Black Lives Matter and think, oh baby, come back. No, I don't know what it is. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know what I want, but I don't want this.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, if we let Gabby Douglas come back, I feel like we just gotta let everybody come back, guys. It's the rules. That's the rules. I would offer as a retort, Karen, to everything you said. I hear what you're saying, but I would offer this as a retort. Yeah. What's the hurt in hearing my fear? Doesn't mean I don't see your pain. It just means we're human the same. If I matter, hold up the sign. Say it with me, identify. This is love, it wants to be heard. Show me that you care for I. If love is love is love is love is love is. I'll tell you this much, man. The thing with her and Gabby Douglas that makes me sad, it's like, low key, man, that's a big reason why I am not religious. Cause you can hide behind that shit and be supporting Trump, who's a monster. You can hide behind that shit and support, basically tell women that got raped that they deserve it somehow, and hide it behind, like, this is what I learned in church type thing, and it's just bad. Like, it's just horrible.
And
I feel like, you know, that's where a lot of that mentality comes from. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't be that if it was another religion or if we were in a different country and they had a different dominant religion, but we in this country and Christianity is a dominant religion. And a lot of times people use that shit to go against their own best interest for no fucking reason. And that's it makes me more sad than angry, but I wasn't a fan of Chrisette Michele to feel like a level of betrayal like Karen feels. But I, you know, like I said, I mean, I've been joking this whole time. She can't come back to the cookout, obviously. And, you know, I'm not 100 at her, but that's just more because it's sad to me. It don't make me.
Right. And
I guess, you know, I'm 100 fucked with. So I guess it is 100 because I'm fucked with, because I feel bad for her that she was so stressed out, that she got dropped from her label, that all these consequences came with her stepping out of line with black folks. And while I understand we're not a monolith, that also does go for not just the celebrity, not for the famous person, but for everybody. Like, everybody don't have to support your art just because you're black either. You, like, you can't have it both ways where support me as a black woman, also I'm gonna support Trump, who is 100% against all y'all black ass niggas, you know.
And that is the whole point. It's one of those things where people looking at, like, don't you see what he stands for? Don't you see he anti-us?
But see, that's that religious shit, Karen. People believe in that olive branch. I just don't. But they do. You know what I mean? They believe in that turn the other cheek shit. That, like, I don't know what to tell them. Because I, at the same time, I don't feel that the capacity to forgive is bad.
No,
but
not.
I think people earn forgiveness. People,
right.
People take a step towards you, not you take a step towards them. When they're the one that's wrong, and some of these people really do believe that you take a step towards the racist person and that'll fix it. Like, I'll hug the Nazi, he'll see that I'm a human being. And I'm like, that's the opposite of that shit to me. But, like I hate that, I don't know what to tell y'all. I still hate to see the consequences come down on people like that, but it is what it is. Like I say, it fucks with me. In a different way. I'm not angry, but I'm more like, fuck. Like, right. That was stupid. We all knew where this was heading. And now we're back to here. And it sounds like you begging for black people to come back. And it's sad. Can I feel sad?
Right. And that's more, less of anger and more of a disappointment. That's what it is. It's more of a, you really thought did it. And I think for a lot of people, times have changed. Like, who was it? Tisha Campbell, one of them girls, other gospel girl. Her shows was getting canceled and shit, and you're like,
I think Tisha Campbell was on Martin.
Not Tisha Campbell. What's that?
Erica Campbell.
Yes, the gospel singer, the one who went on with The View, The Talk, the T. One of them went on one of them morning talk shows, and you know, was like, "Well, I said what I said," and people was like, "Well, bitch, we said what we said, and we taking our dollars away, and we ain't supporting you."
They clap for her and shit,
right? And it's one of those things. But yeah, you can be bold and you can stand, but like you say, particularly me being a black woman, and maybe I don't know if it's time on the internet. I'm just old. I'm tired of people taking my motherfucking dollar for goddamn granted. I'm tired of for people acting like, just because we black, I'm supposed to give
you
my
money. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
Right. I get tired of particularly being a black woman, and the older I get, the less and less bullshit I want to deal with. I don't want to deal with no bullshit. And then you put your hand out talking about, give me your money. Bitch, no, I'm not giving you a motherfucking thing. Everybody else gets catered to. Men get catered to.
Bitch,
white women
get out
catered
of my
to.
Thing.
Everybody gets catered to, but when it comes to black women, you treat us like shit, and then you be like, well, give me your money. Fuck you. No, my feelings matter. My opinions matter. I can get mad and take my money back and choose not to support you just like anybody else. And people like that's like, particularly with black women, there's something wrong with you for not supporting your money, because society tells black women you're supposed to take your money and support everybody no matter how they treat you.
No, you're absolutely right. It is fucked up because people definitely believe in that.
Right.
Like, they definitely will be like, you black people are wrong, particularly black women in this case, for not supporting this woman, even though she was dead ass wrong. Like, you are required to support her. You can't say that she was wrong. You can't say that you're offended. Your feelings can't be hurt. We don't allow black people to be human. And it goes both ways. Like, she's allowed to be human and make that mistake, but
yes, she is.
That mistake comes with some fucking reactions that are also human, you know? Like,
right.
you know, I don't know what to tell people. All right, we got to start wrapping up. Let's get into Guess the Race. We'll take out the trash tomorrow, and it's some old trash.
The trash being filled.
The trash, listen, the trash is overflowing, y'all, right now.
The truck's pulling up right now, y'all.
But I gotta cook tonight. We don't have time for all this extra shit, so let's get to it.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Ba-da-ba-da.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race, and everybody plays along and everybody's racist. All right, let's see. Wait, did this one close? Did this article close now? I guess I can't see the whole information because the campaign's over. All right, cool. I'll let me try using something else. How about this article? A 19-year-old has been found guilty in a triple hair weave murder.
Oh shit!
Yep, he's been found guilty. This happened in, of course, Memphis, Tennessee. Her name is Shelby Isaac. She's 19. Found guilty of two counts of second degree murder, one count of reckless homicide, and one count of criminally negligent homicide.
I thought she murdered the weave. I was like, well, goddamn, what did the weave do to you, honey?
That's not how murder works. But I understand what you're saying. Isaac fell to the ground in shock as the first guilty verdict was read around 7 p.m. Friday after about 3 hours of deliberations. That's it for murder? Woo!
Right?
You must have did it.
Come on.
Multiple members of Isaac's family were escorted from the courtroom after they began crying. One shouted that Isaac was innocent. There's a frame over some weave. In January 2016, Isaac fatally shot EJ Tate, Edwina Thomas, and Thomas's unborn child at a Northeast Memphis apartment complex in a dispute over hair weave. She only got the little extra three bundles of hair, maybe 200 or 300. It wasn't worth the lay life, said Tate's mother. Prosecutors had sought first degree murder convictions in all three deaths, but the jury ended up settling on lesser charges. The embryo was charged, in which they convicted her of criminally negligent homicide, and reckless homicide was for the female victim. Sometimes that can indicate that it was possibly a compromised verdict if you have some very strong on one side, some very strong on the other, said Isaac's lawyer, Lauren Fux. What? That's an unfortunate last name.
What last name? Ooh, I know you got the jokes.
I guess she was out of fucks.
Come on.
The judge was out of fucks.
Yes.
Ruled against fucks even. Isaac will return to court sentencing December 15. She faces 15 to 25 years in prison for the most serious charge, second degree murder. That's a long time for some weed. Prosecutors say they haven't decided what sentence they will ask for, but Fuck says she intends to ask for the 15-year minimum.
Woo.
Well,
That yakky wasn't worth going to jail for, girl.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Fucks will show up during the trial. Hate to be out of Fucks that day.
All out of them.
Mm-hmm. They say they're relieved to finally have one, even though they know it will never erase their pain, to say the guilty verdict for the family. You're burdened down, and I don't think it goes away. A part of life is just changed forever. Will never be the same, said Gloria Tate. And the Isaac family chose not to speak on camera or to the press. Karen, guess the race of Shelby Isaac, the triple homicide weave person.
She's black.
Okay, Karen's going with black on this. Some very controversial choices. Check the chat room and see what you guys believe the race of Shelby Isaac is. Memphis, Tennessee, 19 years old. Black hair weave killer, black. We be tired of waiting in the shop all damn day, black. Head patter, black. It's totally believable, nigga, black.
Aww.
Come on, guys. That pun, that was very stringy. Black is, I've Jesus hug at D, he's at what, I don't know what that means. Black chicken noodle soup black at Brenda's well, okay, you guys are lusting over Jesus and I don't understand what's going on in that chat room. Vivica Fox is an idol. Ah! Black you guys all got it right. Yeah, she was black. Oh wait, the volume. Let me see if I put a picture on screen. Although, I feel like you guys already know what she looks like. Well, I like that in this one picture that, like, they got one picture with the weave and one picture, like, before the weave. I'm like, you know what? You just gotta kill a nigga for some weave, girl. Like,
and weave can get high. A bundle can be very, a few hundred dollars on the bundle of hair.
Yeah, I think they said $200.
And that's the low end, because sometimes it could be $400, $500, $600 a pack, man, depending on what kind of quality of hair you got.
Killing people over weave, man. Life must have been so bad.
Maybe you can have that weave. Mm-hmm. All the weave.
People don't play that. Let's see what else we got here. Police say a suspect's overwhelming gas shut down an interrogation. Kansas City, Missouri. Police interrogation of Kansas City man charged with drug and gun offenses ended prematurely when an investigator was driven from the room by the suspect's excessive flatulence.
Oh, so he was fighting. That's what I thought. But I was like, wait a minute. Did somebody have a gas leak? Well, I guess he did out of his ass.
It was probably some noxious
fumes. What the hell did he eat?
I don't know. You never know, Karen. what's going on with people?
That chili really was the bomb.
Yeah, I'm sure that interrogation must have been horrible. Tell us where the goddamn drugs are, Draymond. Listen, we're not taking this. Okay, listen. Oh God, Jesus. Oh, who's gonna be? I gotta be bad cop. I gotta leave, guys. Oh, he's not. He's not done yet. Oh, where are the drugs? Oh, come on. I just had lunch. It smells like oh Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Oh, smells like Azalea Banks weave in here. Oh my God. Oh, what did you eat? Is there a sale on beans? That's how I imagine that. Anyway,
all the beans.
A detective reported that when asked for his address, the 24-year-old Sean Skies Jr. leaned on one side of the chair and released a loud fart before answering. I can't. This is really on a news site. This is my job. Kind of Rick Sanchez ass answer was that. Just tell us where you live. Oh God. Now listen, we just okay. Can you state your name for the record? Come on. You're not taking this. Oh, geez. What does that smell? Maybe he's a mutant. That's his mutant power.
Apparently so.
He gonna be on the gifted tonight.
Yes, he is.
Sykes appeared in court Monday charged with being a felon in possession of 3 firearms and possession with attempt to sell cocaine.
Oh, he's a walking bomb.
Yeah, some firearms, all right. The charges stem from police traffic stops this month in September. A federal public defender's office hasn't responded to the AP for seeking comment. I mean, how could they? They can't talk to their client. Listen to me. Everything you say right now is off the record, okay, Sean? I'm your lawyer, and I'm here to help you. Just tell me the truth. Did you have the guns and the drugs? Oh, come on, Sean. You're not taking this seriously. Okay. You're going to look at federal time. You can go to jail double-digit years, okay? This is possession of cocaine, and you got 3 firearms, unregistered, unlicensed. Now, Sean, I just need you to tell me, did you do it? Oh, geez. Oh, God. Listen, I'm on your side. Oh, God. Oh, it's in my mouth.
Oh,
I can't. Oh God, help! Open the door. I need out. I say you had the right to remain silent, not silent and deadly. All right, guys, let's check. Karen, what race do you think he is?
Oh, this is white because there was black that it said his fart was a weapon.
Okay, let's check the chat room and believe what you guys said. I mean, see what you guys believe. The KC masterpiece white. All farts matter white. He made it hard for them to sniff out the evidence. Criminal mastermind white.
Oh.
Criminal astermind. Broke nigga breaking wind.
Oh.
Beano white. So we only Chriselle went black. Everybody else went white on this. And the correct answer is, let me go back to my sound effects, but all you guys who guessed white, you guys were wrong.
How's that possible? Passing gas and guns and shit. You're gonna have to show me proof, sir.
And some of y'all, one of y'all got it right. Golf clap for Brianna. I think it was Brianna that got it right. Oh, it was Chriselle. Chriselle got it right.
Oh, she said my dad used to lift his leg.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
That's sorry. Hilarious.
Sorry that happened to you.
I know. Traumatized as a kid.
We just probably just triggered her the whole show. Oh, I miss my daddy. He was a good man. I'm gonna call him tonight. I'm gonna call him. He's up to. Alright. So yeah, let's go to the bonus round. Almost trying to get out of here. But yeah, man, I can't imagine the audacity to even do that. That's crazy.
Yes.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's I think almost everybody's 1-1. So maybe Chriselle might be 2-2.
Yeah, he might be.
But everybody else is 1-1. Let's see if you guys can put it all together in the bonus round. All right, let's see here. This is lovely. This is just very classy. A man tells cops disemboweled corpse found in the closet is a sex doll made of flesh.
No. No. Sex dolls are not made of flesh. They're made of like silicone and flesh like material. Like they don't even look real. Like no. Mm-hmm. You know, I pay attention to the thing that Chris does, do you even sci-fi bro? Yeah, I pay attention to that. And no.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he would tend to disagree with you, Karen, and he does feel that he does feel that a disemboweled corpse is the same as a sex doll.
No, it's not.
No. No. Mm-mm. No. 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 Oh, no. No! Hell no! 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 I refuse! No! No!
A Florida man came up with a bizarre excuse after officers found a mutilated corpse in his bedroom closet. Police were called to a Miami home on Friday after a woman reported smelling a foul odor in her son's bedroom. That's why he still lived with his mom. When officers arrived, 32-year-old Jerome Wright exited the bedroom naked and sweaty, telling police he had a stomach ache. Cops searched his room and found a body fluid on his bed and a trash can.
Oh, what the fuck were you doing in there?
Inside the closet, police discovered the body of 52-year-old Deanna Clendenin, who was his girlfriend.
Oh!
Yeah, I know. She was dating a nigga that lived at home with his mama. Come on now. Can't do that. According to police, the body had a laceration across the stomach and some of the internal organs were removed. The organs were later found in a trash can outside the home. His mother, Della Wright, told officers she lived at the home with her son and Clinton would often stay with him. Wright attempted to explain the grisly scene, telling officers that anything they found in the bedroom was from the internet. As far as the body in the closet, Wright said it was a sex doll made of flesh. Wright was arrested and charged with abusing the courts. A murder charge has not been filed, but police said they're still investigating. Additional charges could be filed. Guess the race. Oh, he was on probation when the body was found. Guess the race of Jerome Wright, Karen.
Black.
Karen's going black. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Casper White says Kiara. The porno version of Dexter White. This is a trick. His name is Jerome, but the sex doll shit is White. Ah. Jerome and on probation, black. he had all the cocoa butter to put on his on the body still. Aww. Please don't be black. Jeffrey Dahmer. Ah. That's not a guess, Petty Shabazz. Jeffrey Dahmer was his idol White, black, and Dahmer dog lover White. The correct answer is, and you guys were very divided over this, but many of you did get it. He is black. Some tough ones this week.
I was about to say, I know my racism ain't that far off. I mean, Jerome, probation, damn.
Of course, some of y'all missed
say,
it.
He
some,
was...
people, some people went white, Karen.
Yeah, I was about to say, my racism radar was about to be way off of you to talk about Jerome is a white man.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't look like it showed up in the chat. Hold on.
I was about to say, white folks done evolved, and then nobody tell me.
I mean, you know, Jerry Seinfeld's real name is Jerome.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, some white Jeromes. There's a few white Jeromes out there in the world. You can't, you never know, Karen. Did his picture show up yet?
Not yet.
Mm-mm. Huh. All right. Let me go to... sort of ratchetness, and then I'll refresh if it doesn't load soon.
Okay, I see your screen.
Okay, cool. Let me put it back real quick, and I'll play the sound effect for sort of ratchetness, guys.
Oh yeah, yes, yeah. That's a nigga.
I say Jerome in the house.
Mm-hmm. He looked like he did that shit.
Yeah. There must have been drugs involved or something.
Yeah, yeah.
How could he think the police would believe any of that shit?
Yeah.
If you see anything, it's from the internet. What?
Mm-mm. I feel bad for the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she dead.
Right. Who know how long she been dead?
Just stay with him, girl. You know, if you don't love a man when he broke, then how can you ever...
Mm-mm. Honey, you'd have been better off by yourself buying you some double D's and calling it a day, baby. You wouldn't be dead.
Then you got to deal with his mama living there. She probably pay all the bills.
All the bills, dog. All of them.
She can't be like this other woman. And sword ratchetness. An Oklahoma woman is accused of chasing her boyfriend with a sword. That she suspected him that he was cheating on her. An Omaha woman was arrested on suspicion of making terroristic threats after police said she chased her boyfriend with a sword because she thought he was cheating on her. Police responded to 11th and Dorcas Street just before 11 p.m. Friday. Witnesses told officers that a woman was brandishing a sword and headed south after a man. Police located a 20-year-old woman and a 36-year-old man at 13th and Martha Street.
She wouldn't have fought.
What street did you just say? Martha Street. I'll help you find your mama.
I know, right? Better not be that goddamn Martha Stewart.
The sword was found near 12th and Martha Streets and collected by forensic units. Police said the woman admitted to punching her boyfriend in the face and then chasing him with the sword, but she told officers that she wouldn't have harmed him.
We don't believe you.
Okay. The woman was booked into jail.
You could have got a hold of him. That'd probably have been a dead man.
See, this is what happened. You cheating on these women that got swords, and now your ass running for your life.
Running for your life.
All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for enjoying whatever this was.
I know. Whatever you call this today.
Tomorrow, we taking out the trash, though, guys. So be prepared for
all the trash.
Trash-ass behavior from trash-ass.
They pulling up right now. 12-hour shifts. They working hard, y'all.
Until then, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah. Mwah.